During yesterday's BSO concert in Tanglewood, famous cellist Yo-Yo Ma made a plea to the nearly 14,000 concertgoers.
This morning, while his dear wife Mary was making pancakes, there was a smoke alarm and their beloved 4.5-month-old Havanese Cuban dog named Carlito walked out of the room in Lenox. Whoever is in Lenox, Stockbridge, in this area, could you help out?
And they did. About 7 p.m., Grace Elrod and her boyfriend spotted the dog in the middle of Cliffwood Avenue in Lenox. They lured the puppy with dog treats, made the call, and reunited Carlito with David Zinman. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Boston. Little Carlito, the 4.5-month-old Cuban Havanese puppy, got startled when a smoke alarm went off during breakfast and ran out the door. During the Sunday concert, Yo-Yo Ma explained the situation to the crowd, and they spread the word to others in the Lenox area. One of those was Grace Elrod, who'd been out for a run.
I happened to be driving up the street and saw Carlito in the middle of the road, right coming by Triangle Park there. So we knew kind of right away that who else could this be?
She and her boyfriend used some of their own dog treats to lure the puppy to them and then made the call to reunite Carlito and Zinman, who, of course, was very grateful. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Boston. From California to Florida to New England, Stewie the Duck is helping small children learn about water safety and saving lives. Stu Jr.'s first piece of advice, floating.
Pediatricians say, well, you can't really physically swim till you're 2.5, but you can float when you're like 6 months. It's so important. Our son, when he drowned, was face first in the water. If he had taken some type of lesson, he would have learned to roll over on your back.
Second, adult supervision.
The little toddler comes in and says, Stewie the Duck says I'm not allowed to go near the water without an adult. Could you come out to the pool with me? My wife and I, our heart stops when we hear that.
And third, when around water, have children wear a floating device. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Norwalk, Connecticut. Pearl Boyle, who lives in Connecticut, interviewed more than 100 people as research for her book Defying Gravity and learned a thing or two about resilient people.
They were all persistent, strategically persistent. They didn't just plod along, but they were very nimble and intelligent about how they navigated their obstacles. Sometimes they made a plan and sometimes they didn't.
She says no one is suggesting it's easy.
When a situation didn't go their way, many times they had to take time to regroup, sometimes to have a little pity party for themselves. I don't think it was easy for any of the people, but it was always worth making the effort.
Ann Carrick, CBS News, Westport, Connecticut. Memorial Day is the unofficial start to summer, but swimming could be dangerous if the water is too cold. Meteorologist Barry Burbank reminds us it takes time for water to warm up.
It's always cold this time of the year. It's the beginning of the season, and the heat capacity of the ocean, it takes a long time to heat it up. The temperatures right now are between 52 and 54 degrees, so that's pretty cold for most folks. If you have a wetsuit on, that's a different story.
In New England, it can take until June for water to reach the 60s, and he says late July into August for the 70s, which is what most people prefer. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Boston. How to spot human trafficking. Quinnipiac University is offering training to hospitality workers to help them identify signs of human trafficking. Sheila Hare is an attorney and visiting law professor. She says Monday's training is the first of its kind. It's live and includes a panel of experts.
To my knowledge, there's only been one other training other than what's going on at Quinnipiac. And we've been told that our goal is to train everyone in the state of Connecticut who works in the hospitality industry that hasn't been able to comply with this requirement.
A new state law in Connecticut requires training for all hotel and lodging workers to identify the signs and know how to respond. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Boston. Quinnipiac University is offering training to hospitality workers to help them identify signs of human trafficking. It's part of a new state law in Connecticut. Sheila Hare is an attorney and visiting law professor. She says the new groundbreaking law is critical.
Having recognized the need to fight this, Connecticut being along the I-95 corridor between Boston and New York, but frankly, being a place that, you know, has trafficking. I think most people think trafficking is an international problem. It happens outside our borders rather than within.
The training is the first of its kind, live instead of online, and with a panel of experts. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Boston. There's a new law in Connecticut aimed to stop human trafficking. It requires training for all hospitality workers in the state. Sheila Hare is an attorney and visiting law professor at Quinnipiac University, which is offering the required training. She highlights some of the key parts of the new law.
They've had to develop a training. There's also a conspicuous signage rule that states you have to include some information they can call if they're seeing this problem. And there's an interesting section also that provides fines for folks who run these types of establishment where prostitution has been permitted and they have failed to make reasonable efforts to abate it.
Hare says being between Boston and New York makes Connecticut a target for would-be traffickers. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Boston. Many parts of Vermont and Maine got their first real snow of the season. Susie D. is in Waitsfield, Vermont, in the Mad River Valley, where they got an unexpected 9 inches of snow. She says with the lack of snow last season, enthusiasts are sure to be out today.
Everybody will be hiking up. There will be people who will choose to do it.
And will you be among them?
No, I will not. I will wait for the lifts to run.
D. is not concerned about roads. She's just enjoying the scenery.
Because it actually had been warm, I think that the roads are going to clear. But it sure is pretty up here. Heavy snow that's coating everything. Birch trees are gorgeous.
Dee will be cleaning off the car and driving back to Connecticut. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Boston. Susie D. is in Waitsfield, Vermont, in the Mad River Valley, where they got an unexpected amount of snow.
We had the most beautiful fall weather in the world, and this morning there's 9 inches of snow on the ground. That's what a difference a day can make in Vermont.
She wishes she could stay and enjoy the scenery, but instead they will clean off the cars and head back to Connecticut.
Out my window this morning, you can still see the beautiful fall colors, along with a coating of snow.
D. is sure winter enthusiasts will be hiking up the mountain to get a jump on ski season, but she's waiting for the lifts to open. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Boston. The drought is over for ladies' medals in the World Figure Skating Championships. Ashley Wagner of the United States wins silver.
This is absolutely incredible because that was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I don't think anyone can prepare you for skating last at the World Championships after your rival has skated a great performance.
Wagner was the last skater of the night and brought down the house with an outstanding performance and a standing ovation. Russian skaters took gold and bronze. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Boston. Could it be the end of hepatitis C? Yale researchers say it's possible in the next decade with new antiviral drugs and enhanced screening and treatment. Jeffrey Townsend, Yale University professor of biostatistics.
Previous medications going back a couple years required the use of interferon as well as the drug that was applied. And the problem with interferon was that it gives you essentially flu-like symptoms for almost the entire time that you're taking the drug.
Townsend says the new drugs help prevent complications and death from Hep C and prevent spreading the virus. Hep C is a blood-borne virus transmitted by injection drugs, blood transfusion, and possibly getting a tattoo. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Hartford, Connecticut. No more hepatitis C in the next decade. That's what Yale researchers think is possible after studying some new antiviral drug treatments. Jeffrey Townsend, Yale University professor of biostatistics, says the old drugs gave patients flu-like symptoms, making it difficult for them to finish treatments.
It turns out that a number of different direct-acting agents are coming on the market simultaneously. And so we just modeled the effect of these in general because all of them have the property that they no longer require the use of interferon simultaneously.
Townsend says the new direct-acting agents have the ability to dramatically decrease the amount of hepatitis C in the United States by suppressing the virus and preventing transmission to other people. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Hartford, Connecticut. There have been 16 stun gun-related deaths in Connecticut since 2005. The latest ruled a homicide. Michael Lawler in the governor's office says the risk of death from a stun gun varies.
People who are extremely intoxicated or who are obese or who are in an agitated state for a variety of reasons. So that kind of person is very susceptible to a sudden heart attack.
A new policy this year should provide the state with more accurate data about stun gun incidents. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Hartford, Connecticut. The death of 41-year-old David Werblow has been ruled a homicide. Michael Lawler in the governor's office says a new policy will provide better information regarding the use of stun guns on minorities.
Anecdotally, it does seem like certainly most of the people who have died as a result of being tasered, there's definitely a racial disparity there. how that corresponds to other data, we won't know until we have the full year's data at the end of this year.
There have been 16 stun gun-related deaths in Connecticut since 2005. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Hartford, Connecticut. Watch, wait, and communicate. That's the action plan regarding heavy rain headed to the northeast left from Tropical Storm Andrea. Scott DeVico with Connecticut's Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection says those in flood-prone areas need to be prepared.
The current forecast is calling for 2 to 4 inches of rain with some locally higher amounts. And rainfall rates may be up to 2 inches per hour.
DeVico also suggests everyone have a basic emergency supply kit on hand since hurricane season is underway as of June 1st. Ann Carrick, CBS News, Hartford.